Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from Romans 8, 17 through 27. This is found on your Pew Bible, page 944. Should it read 18 to 27? We can start at 17. 17? All right. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. If I could have the next slide just to get us started. Thank you. I want you to imagine, this isn't hard for some of you, that it's a late Saturday, it's a late summer Saturday morning, and you are on the way to your long-awaited summer vacation at the shore. But you're stuck in traffic. And particularly if you have a house on Long Beach Island and there's one causeway to get there, you know what I mean on a Saturday morning. All summer long, you have been eagerly awaiting this week of vacation. You got the dream house. It's right on the beach. It's got everything you want. And so all the pains and struggles this summer are going to be behind you. You just need to get to your summer vacation house. But there's a problem. There's been a major accident ahead of you, and the traffic hasn't moved for hours. And as you're sitting there in the baking hot sun, your car air conditioning goes out. And so you put down the windows and the hot, muggy air comes in. And of course, as you've been sitting there for an hour or two, the kids in the back seat are saying, "When are we going to be there? I'm hungry. She poked me. She took my toy." And you've had it. You're almost there. You're almost over the bridge. You're almost at that home, but you're not there yet. And you're thinking as you're stewing, holding that driving wheel, about what the last few weeks of your summer have been like. First, the water heater went out, and you woke up one morning to a flood all over the floor. Then the next week, your refrigerator stopped working on the hottest day of the year, and all your food spoiled. And then the next week, your toddler developed projectile vomiting and diarrhea, and you spent every minute of the day cleaning up after this kid. And you're sitting there, and you're saying, "I'm so close to my perfect vacation." In fact, as you're on the causeway, you think if you strain your neck, you can see your house. It's that close. You can smell the salt air from the ocean. but you're not there yet. This is what the Apostle Paul is describing for us in Romans 8, verses 17 through 27 or 28. He says, we're groaning in a fallen world. We're moaning with physical pain and suffering. We are crying out and we are frustrated by sometimes our futile attempts to overcome the sinful nature and those sins that cling so closely. And yet at the same time, we know, perhaps at church on a Sunday, we know that glory will be revealed to us one day. And we can almost taste it. If we stretch our spiritual neck, so to speak, we can sometimes see heaven. Maybe as we're singing a song on a Sunday and just, or having the Lord's Supper, and we're saying, I feel it, it's close, but we're not there yet. And in the midst of that, Paul is saying in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us. And he gives us a confident hope that though you're stuck in traffic now, you'll be there one day in glory. And the Holy Spirit helps you as you groan and you cry out. And he says, one day, faith, your faith will become sight. And so the big picture is we're groaning today, but we will be in glory forever. We're groaning today, but we'll be in glory forever. Let's just think about the big picture of Romans chapter 8 here. Last Sunday, in verses 5 through 17, if you were here, we saw a mountain peak, a real climax, a pinnacle in Romans, where it says, you know that battle, your sinful nature that you have? You know your desire for longing and security that you cry out for, it's met fully through the Holy Spirit in God adopting you as sons and daughters. You're in His family. This is one of the high points. We talked about justification being made right with God as the foundation. And now here's the top floor, the observatory floor. We have been made God's children. He's adopted us. We have a living relationship and we can call Him Abba, Father. Wow, that's a mountaintop, isn't it? And then in verses 17 to 27, we're brought down into the depths of the valley. If you look at 17 to 27, here are some of the words Paul uses. You ready for this morose sounding downer list? Sufferings, futility, bondage to corruption, groaning together, the pains of childbirth, that's my reference to Mother's Day, pains of childbirth, groaning inwardly, weaknesses and groanings too deep for word. Anybody encouraged by that list? Wow, we were on a mountaintop and now we're in the pits here. Why this focus on suffering and groanings? Well, part of the answer will be seen the next two Sundays, Lord willing, as we go back to the mountaintops in Romans 8, 28 to 30. Next week, Lord willing, Elder Will Doggett is going to open up verses 28, 29, and 30 and tell us how all things, including our groanings, including our sufferings, work for our good and for the glory of God. So stay tuned for that next week. And then, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, the following Sunday, Pastor John Riggs is going to remind us that nothing, not all of your suffering and groaning, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we got the mountain peaks, the depths of the valley, and then back in the mountain peaks. But for today, in verses 17 to 27, the big message is we are groaning today, but we will be in glory forever. We're groaning today, but we will be in glory forever. We're in labor now, but we'll be delivered in a short time. And the background to this, and the reason I had us read verse 17, it says, here's the pattern. It says, if we are God's children, what a blessing, then look at the privileges. We are heirs, we are inheritors, and co-heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. Just stop there for a minute. Sometimes a will is read and you say, wow, my rich aunt left me the beach house. or $1 million. We are co-inheritors with Jesus Christ. Everything that Christ has is ours. And you say, this is great. And then he goes on to say, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Provided we suffer with him that we may be glorified with him. And I want to pick up on this idea of the suffering leading to the glory, that we're groaning now today, but we will be in glory forever. And that's our hope. That's our encouragement. That's what we strain our spiritual necks for, and that enables us to go forward. So the first truth from this passage is that the Holy Spirit bears witness that our suffering with Christ is the pathway to being glorified with Christ. Our suffering with Christ is the pathway, the road to being glorified with Christ. Why is that so? Well, three reasons Paul gives us. First, to get to glory, you need to go through the cross. To get to glory, you need to go through the cross. You know, all roads lead to Rome in the ancient world. Well, here, all roads to glory must go through the cross. Jesus himself said in Luke 24:26 on the road to Emmaus, he says, was it not necessary that the Christ, that the Messiah, should suffer these things and enter into his glory? This is the pattern. Christ had to suffer and die in order later to be ascended and exalted to enter into glory. And 1 Peter 4:13 says, the same is true for us if we are in Christ. And again, remember that piece of paper in the Bible? We are the piece of paper. What happens to Christ happens to us. And so 1 Peter tells us, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. How many of you, honestly, have been rejoicing in your sufferings this week? Why? That you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Christ said the road to glory goes through suffering, goes to the cross for me. And if you're in me, if you're in union with me by faith, then your path to glory, which we're looking forward to, must go through a time of suffering. The second thing is that God uses our sufferings to make us like Christ. We know that, right? God uses your sufferings, your trials, your groanings to make you holy, to make you more like Jesus Christ. We saw that a few weeks ago in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. Romans 5, 2 to 4, where Paul writes, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And you stop there and you say, that's good. We're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. See a pattern here? Every time God talks about glory and we put a smile on our face, he talks about suffering. Because that's the path that Jesus went through. That's the path that we need to go through. Why? Because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. If God's plan is to make us holy as Christ is holy, he doesn't just wave a magic wand and make you sinless. He says, the way that I'm going to do that is through suffering and trials and groaning. That's how children come into the world, right? The labor pains, in travail, and that's how we come into glory. Think about it. This is a principle in all of life. If you want to achieve something glorious, you need to go through a hard time first, all right? If you want to get into shape, you've got to work out. As the saying goes, right? No pain, no gain. If you want to do well on your exams, and for some of you students, exams are coming up soon, you have to work hard and study the material. If you want your home to look nice or your lawn to look nice, you've got to put in some effort into house cleaning or landscaping. And so it is in our walk with Christ. We need to suffer. That includes crucifying the flesh. That includes being able to even count it joy when we're going through trials, because we know that God is using that to achieve glory in us. So we need to go through the cross. Suffering makes us like Christ. And thirdly, today's groanings and glory forever cannot be compared. You can't separate the two. We see that in verse 17. Glory and groaning are inseparable, but you really can't compare them because one is so much greater than the other. That is, our groanings are temporary. And I know you're probably saying, yeah, I've said, how long, O Lord? For years about certain things, and nothing has changed. It doesn't seem like they're temporary. But groaning is temporary. Glory is going to be eternal, forever. You know, that vacation house that you're going to, if you're there for a week or a month, or maybe if you could afford it and you were retired, the whole summer, but then the summer ends and the beach gets not what it was in the other times. These glories are temporary, but the glory that God has for us is eternal. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, he says, for this light and momentary affliction, I want you to think about what's happened in the last few months of your life that's been hard. And every one of you could raise your hand and say, I can tell you what's hard. I can tell you how I've been groaning. Some it's physical, some it's spiritual, some it's relational, some it's emotional, some it's your house, your car, your bank account, your job. And God says, your groaning, your afflictions are light and momentary. And you say, it doesn't feel that way. But he says, these momentary afflictions are what? Preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. I won't read the rest of the passage there. It just talks about our afflictions and groanings are, we see them, we feel them, but they're transitory. They're fleeting. Glory is permanent. Think about an old-fashioned scale, perhaps where you would weigh vegetables. I know when we lived in the Middle East many years ago, there was the old weights, and you put, if you wanted 2 pounds or 2 kilos of cucumbers, and there was a 2 kilo weight there, and it's weighing the balance. And imagine you put all of your troubles, all of your groanings, all the things you're complaining about on one side of the scale, and you put God's glory on the other, and God's glory weighs so much more. It's interesting that in Hebrew, that word glory, the word kavod, means weight. It's weighty. It's like troubles are mists. They just blow away. God's glory is heavy. It's weighty. It's meaningful. It will stay there. And again, we don't feel that. We feel our afflictions. But God says, I want you to know that the groanings of this age, they're going to pass away like a dream that you can't remember when you wake up. But the glory that you are going to inhabit and inherit is going to be forever and ever and ever. And so whatever you're going through, you may feel like, I can't take it one more day. And maybe you've told your spouse, or maybe you've told God, I can't take it. Do something about it. And God says to us, I want you to do 2 things. One, look up to me. I am your Father. Remember the adoption we talked about last week? I am the sovereign Lord, and I've got you and your groanings in my hand. I love you. Look up to the Lord. And secondly, look ahead to the future and realize that you're stuck in traffic now and you're not moving, but soon you'll be at that eternal home of glory. Margaret Clarkson was a hymn writer who suffered physically all her life. And she wrote a hymn, O Father, you are sovereign. He's sovereign over creation. He's sovereign over redemption. And one of the lines talks about how he is sovereign. He's in control over our sufferings. Here's what she says. O Father, you are sovereign. You're the Lord of human pain, transmuting earthly sorrows to gold of heavenly gain. I'm going to come back to that. all evil overruling as none but conqueror could. Your love pursues its purpose, our soul's eternal good. Transmuting earthly sorrows to gold of heavenly gain. I didn't know what transmuting meant, but it comes from the Middle Ages, where people, valuing gold as something very precious as we do today, thought about what can they do with chemistry or alchemy to turn a base metal into gold. Boy, if you could discover that, right? You'd be rich. And so they tried to take different metals and turn them into gold. That's what transmuting meant. And Margaret Clarkson says, Lord, you transmute our earthly sorrows to the gold of heavenly gain. You can do what no one else can do. And we believe that God is transmuting our sorrows and our groanings to the gold of heavenly gain. We're suffering today in Christ, but it's the pathway to our glory with God in eternity. Second truth is just briefly to contrast the groaning today with the glory forever. The groaning today with the glory forever. I'd like you to imagine a sheet of paper that's long and has two column heads. One column head says, groaning today. All right, going to write all your groanings on there. Okay? The other one says, glory forever, and then put a line in the middle. All right, groaning today, glory forever. And let's just look at verses 19 through 23 briefly and put them under those column headings here. So verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation. All right, there's the groaning. We're waiting. We're still on the bridge. We're stuck. And that waiting in eager expectation literally means to stretch one's neck to get a better view of something, right? Can you see that? Oh, stretch your neck a bit over there. And God is saying that all of creation that's been groaning since the fall of mankind in Genesis 3, all of creation is waiting and straining its neck to see, guess what? The other half of verse 19, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. One day, those of us who are in Christ are going to be glorified. C.S. Lewis famously says, if we could see each other in that glorified state, we would be tempted to bow down to each other right now. And you look at each other and say, I don't think so. Or you look in a mirror and say, doesn't seem like. But God says, all of creation is groaning, they're straining to see the sons and daughters of God fully revealed in their glory. And so there's an encouragement here. We need to use our sanctified imaginations, and people like C.S. Lewis are helpful in this, to imagine what the new creation is going to look like and our glorified bodies and our enjoyment of God unhindered. And we can look at Revelation 21 and 22 and get some idea. Isaiah chapter 60 through 66 give us more pictures as well. But we look ahead. We're groaning now, looking ahead to that revelation. And then in verse 20, it says, creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. I'll pick up on that side of the paper, that column. That word futility could be translated as vanity, like we find in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Read Ecclesiastes, all 12 chapters, and say, that's a commentary on Romans 8:28. Creation was subjected to futility. It was subjected to vanity through the fall of Adam and his rebellion against us, against God. But then verse 21 says, in hope that the creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Don't you love these two columns? One is saying, yeah, here's where we are now. This is you. You are here, but this is where you're going to be. God will usher in his grand finale of history, and all of creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption, and we will behold a glorious new heaven and new earth. This past week, there was a number of friends put pictures on Facebook of the Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis. I don't know if any of you saw that. One time, Lynn and I saw that in the Philadelphia area many years ago. It's spectacular, isn't it? These colors in the sky. And I think God is saying, that's just an hors d'oeuvre. If you like that, wait till you see the new creation or a sunset or anything else that's spectacular now. God says, you will see that and you'll be part of that. Well, then in verse 22 and 23, we have again more groanings going on. We know the whole creation's been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Moms, you can identify here, the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly. All right, we've all groaned outwardly. We've all complained this week. But inwardly, we're saying, there's got to be more than what is here. And then verse 23b tells us, yeah, there is. As we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Yes, we've been adopted, verse 14, but the fullness of that adoption, the redemption of our bodies will be seen when the Lord comes again and ushers in the final act of his redemption here. You know, waiting for the redemption of our bodies, if you're a believer in Jesus, I hope you're satisfied and more than satisfied that Jesus has done a good work for your soul. All right, he's forgiven you, redeemed you, set you free. There's so many spiritual things God has done. Well, he did a good job on your soul. Guess what? He's going to do a bang-up job on your body as well. And in that day, there'll be no more crying or dying. There'll be no more arthritis or diabetes. No more cancer or strokes. No more acne or orthodontists. No more allergies or asthma, no more depression or pain. And so we're straining our necks and saying, yes, I can almost see that. I'm not there yet. But the God who did such a great job in saving my soul is going to do a great job in redeeming my body as well. And so all the sufferings of God's creation now, frustration, decay, and pain, it will all give way to a glorious future of liberation, of being set free, of a new birth. And we might say that for every one groan now, there will be a million glories later. Can you wait? Can you hope? Can you look forward? Well, that leads us into verses 24 and 25, where we read that despite today's groanings, the Spirit gives us a confident hope for our forever glory. Despite the groanings of today, the Spirit gives us a confident hope in the glories that are forever. And so we wait in confident hope for that which we cannot see. Our hope is a joyful anticipation. Think about a child, maybe this was your experience, and your parents brought you to a parade. And it was the highlight of the year because maybe Thanksgiving they were giving out candies and gifts and you saw Santa Claus, whatever it was. And you're standing there, right, in a crowd and you're little. Maybe your dad puts you on his shoulders and you can hear the bands playing, but you can't see anything yet because they're around the corner. And it's coming around the corner, and you begin to see this parade. That's the kind of anticipation. You know it's coming. Every Thanksgiving, it's there. Every Christmas or whatever, it's there, and it's coming. Or it's like a child waiting for Christmas, all right? And you count the days down. You're looking at mom and dad and what they're buying and trying to shake the boxes to figure out what they're getting you, all these kinds of things. You know it's going to happen, but you're confident as you hope and wait for that day. That's what we are now. As Romans 5:5 tells us, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of your groaning, in the midst of your struggles and disappointments, God says, I will not disappoint you. I've put my love into your heart through the Holy Spirit as the first fruit, as the down payment, as the guarantee that there's more to come. All right? It's like giving that engagement ring and saying, I promise that I will make you my wife, and then you make good on that. And so we have confidence, a confident hope in what God is doing. And so our view to the end times is not primarily about dates and charts, but rather it's with a confident hope and a patient endurance towards the future. As C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Weight of Glory, the door on which we have been knocking all of our lives will at last be opened. How many of you have been knocking at God's door for something to change? A situation that's been hard. You're struggling, you're groaning, you're knocking, you're interceding, you're praying, and God says, the door will be open to you at last. And when that door opens, you're going to go, wow, wow, it's more glorious than I ever could have imagined. And that leads us to our third and final truth, that the Spirit aligns our feeble praying with God's perfect will. The Holy Spirit aligns our feeble praying with God's perfect will. And I've included verse 28 in here. You see, in all of our weaknesses and all of our groanings, the Spirit does two things. He groans with you and he groans for you. As you cry out in prayers of helplessness and despair, he groans with you and for you. And this means at least two things. One, it means the Holy Spirit is there to interpret and translate your feeble prayers and translate that into a rich, robust prayer before the throne of the Father. You know, let's be honest. If you have time with God in the morning, and even if you have your coffee there on the side, there are times you say, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm drifting off. Sorry, my mind is wandering, right? I mean, how many of us are just laser focused in our prayer? Like you and me, God, we're good. If you are, great. But most of us, we're struggling in our prayers. Don't know how to pray. We don't feel like our prayers are really so great. And God says, I sent my Spirit to interpret and translate your prayers, and sort of like an amplifier and a translator at once, make them heard before the throne of God so that they're effective. This should encourage us in our praying. Even our groaning can be a prayer. Lord, I am struggling. Think about the Psalms. They're not all praise the Lord, are they? They're, I'm hurting and struggling. You seem far off, God. Pray those Psalms. Just read them through as a prayer, and the Holy Spirit will use them to bring before the Father, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. But secondly, the Spirit intercedes for us in accordance with the Father's good purpose. The Spirit intercedes for you in accordance with the Father's good will. And this is where we need to connect verse 27 and 28. In most of your Bibles, there's sort of a paragraph break at that point, right? And I understand that, but there's a train of thought that continues. In verse 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit is praying for you, with you, right? Interceding for you. And how is he doing that? Verse 28, he's doing that in accordance with the will of God. That means that even your groaning and suffering is for your good and for God's glory if you're called according to his purpose and you love him. So in other words, not only is he an amplifier and a translator for your prayers, but he's the aligner of your prayers. Remember we talked last week about your wheels in an old car being out of alignment, they're worn out all the time. The Holy Spirit aligns your praying so that it's in accord with the good, perfect will of God for your life. And so therefore we can say, Lord, I'm groaning, I'm struggling, I'm weak, I don't like where my life is right now, and Holy Spirit, I'm telling you all this, and would you help me to believe that you're using this for my good and for God's glory? That should encourage our prayers, that the Holy Spirit is praying for us according to the Father's perfect will so that we can pray however feebly and bring our groans before him. So let's go back to the hot summer day, stuck in traffic, the air conditioning's not working, and maybe that kid who you thought was finished with the projectile vomiting is not quite over it yet. God the Holy Spirit says to you, I hear you. I hear your groanings. I hear your plea for traffic to clear up so you can get to your vacation home. And the Spirit witnesses to us in that hot car, stuck in traffic, and he says, I am with you. You're in the right place at the right time, and I've not forgotten you. I will not let you go. In fact, all of your groanings and all of your sufferings, they're going to work together for your good and for God's glory. That's what this passage is saying. Mountaintop, we're adopted. Valley, suffering and groaning. Everything working together for good. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God says, in the meantime, in the valley, the Holy Spirit is your comforter, your assurer. He is your helper. And he will take your groanings and he will bring them before the throne of God. And you are not alone. And so looking back, as we just see Romans 8 as a picture here, my encouragement is let us live our lives in light of all that God the Holy Spirit is doing in us and for us. What have we seen in Romans 8? There's no condemnation. We're liberated from our bondage to sin. We have assurance that we are sons and daughters of the living God. He's helping us in our struggles, and he's interceding for us and giving us a confident hope. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, we not only have a future glory to encourage us, we not only have a vacation home that will never end, but we have the Holy Spirit now as the one who comes alongside of us and helps us in our groaning today. So my challenge to each of us, to myself, is, are we relying upon the Holy Spirit? Are we yielding our will to his? Are we asking him to fill us with his fullness? And are there ways that we might be grieving the Spirit of God by our stubbornness, our self-control of trying to control our lives, by our self-centeredness? I urge you, joyfully surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit works in you. Yes, we are groaning today, but we will be in glory forever. Amen. Kate's going to come and pray for us at this time.
Let's go to our Father together. Father, we have heard such good truth, such encouraging words to our souls about the work of your Holy Spirit. We are amazed at your knowledge of us, amazed that you understand that groaning is a part of our everyday experience in this broken world. It is encouraging, it is comforting to know that you hold all of our groanings in your hand, that you hear the voice of our pleas for mercy. You are not far off from us. You are so close that you have filled our hearts. You've poured out your love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, because without him, we couldn't do it. And we feel that, and we want to do better. We want to lift our eyes off of our groanings, off of the hard, off of the unanswered prayers. But we feel the weight that holds our eyes down. And we need the Holy Spirit to lift our eyes. We ask that You, Holy Spirit, would lift our eyes to the glory that is ours, that you would give us the ability to believe in the goodness of that glory. Help us to see it, to see beyond the everyday hard,
that keeps us weighed down. And may we believe that that glory is heavier and better than anything we can struggle with on this earthly side of things. And Lord, oh, we are just longing for that day when you will dwell with us, when you will make all things new, when you will put an end to death, to mourning, when you will restore our bodies, when you will glorify our bodies. We can't even wrap our minds around what that's going to be like, but we want it, and we are excited for it. God, work in us. Would you fill us with the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we may glory, even in our sufferings and our trials and our hardships. Cause us to abound in hope for your glory. Amen.